Please be seated. As a priest, I do a lot of weddings. And while my pastoral care professor in seminary called weddings crisis management, I actually really enjoy them. As part of that process, though, I'm required to do some form of premarital counseling. Now, for most couples, that involves usually three separate meetings, with the last one involving going through the ceremony itself. Now, it probably won't come as a surprise to you, but I'm not a real stickler about all the rules when it comes to a wedding. But I do have my limits. And I'll go through the prayer book with the couple and point out the different places where things may be used but are not required. And invariably, I'll either have a couple that has the whole thing planned out in great detail, or they'll want me to kind of guide them through it and make the decisions for them. Either way is fine. But early on in my ministry, and just so you know, this is not a couple here, so you can relax. But early on in my ministry, I was planning the ceremony with this very young couple, and we got to the part where they would choose which readings would be included in the service. Now, the bride-to-be evidently couldn't be bothered with actually reading the different options, so I tried to summarize them for her. And in the middle of my quite impressive recitation of scripture, she interrupted me and in an exasperated tone said, "Oh, we just want one reading, that love thing." But truthfully, that was all she needed to say, and I knew exactly what she was talking about. What you just heard, 1 Corinthians 13, or as some might call it, 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. I loved the movie Wedding Crashers, starring Vince Vaughn and Owen Williams. They are best friends who crash wedding parties in order to try to pick up women. And they come up with big stories. They're very charming as a way to get in the door. But there's a scene early in the movie where the two are at a wedding and the minister announces that the bride's sister is going to read from Scripture. And Owen leans in and whispers to Vince, "I'll bet you $20 it's 1 Corinthians. And Vince replies, "Double or nothing, it's Colossians 3:12. And the bride's sister takes the lectern and begins. "And now a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians." And Vince has to pay up. Which for me is a no-brainer, because I guarantee you that this chapter has been read at 90% of the weddings I've ever done. But sometimes I got to wonder why. Because it really sets the bar pretty high when it comes to a marriage. Now, aside from the fact that Paul is in the middle of a discourse about spiritual gifts, I can't help but wonder why this text is so appealing to a couple getting married. I realize it's some of the most beautiful language ever written, but listen to it. Love is patient, kind. It isn't boastful or jealous or arrogant or rude. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, I know that all of us want to love like that. But the truth is, few, if any of us, can make it through a single day living up to such an incredibly high standard. And maybe that's why that type of love seems so elusive to so many people. And maybe the simple truth is that we need help with that kind of love. Help in tapping into the source of that love itself. And maybe the even simpler truth is that we might just need to change the way we think about love. As the old song goes, maybe we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Because you heard what I said to the kids, and you've heard Father Tom say it, you've heard me say it. Love is not about how you feel. Love is about what you do. And I think the problem for so many with love is that we've convinced ourselves for too long that it comes from inside us. It comes from within us. That we are the source of the perfect love that Paul describes. And that's just not true. It ain't how it works. Maybe the love so many desperately covet comes from outside of us, where we somehow allow ourselves to be the conduit for God's perfect love. And maybe that love is the greatest, because faith and hope are the instruments, and that love is the goal. And through that love that comes from outside of us, some pretty amazing things start happening around us. And it's here that this week that our gospel lesson today took on new meaning for me. You know the story of Jesus going back to his hometown. You know how he got himself in trouble. The hometown folks are proud, maybe even feeling a little entitled. But when Jesus started talking about blessing the oppressed and the poor, he was in their face. He was talking about a God blessing the people that they couldn't stand, the people they didn't want to be near, the people that even they considered their enemies. And that just didn't sit right. And you know as well as I do, it still doesn't sometimes. It's funny, but not really. And I've heard this said a number of times in a number of different ways. You can preach a judgmental, vengeful, and angry God, and nobody seems to care. But when you start preaching a God who is too loving or too forgiving or too accepting or too merciful or too kind, that's when people get upset. That is what happened in Nazareth that day, and it happens still today. And if I've learned anything from Holy Scripture, it's that whenever we try to draw a line between who's in and who's out, we're going to find Jesus on the other side every single time. That's what perfect love is. And no, we human beings aren't capable of it, but we are capable of better. We're capable of better than we've been. Because that source of love can show itself in our own lives. And in opening ourselves to that source, we can begin to see a new birth of love all around us that gives us hope, no matter what's going on inside of us or around us. And that source can restore our capacity to be loved and also to love. When all seems hopeless and lost, we can't control, we can't even fully understand where that kind of love might take us. We won't always see the results of our own love. Maybe that's why Paul warns us that we only see dimly and know in part. But make no mistake about it, no love shared is ever in vain. And such perfect love always nurtures new possibilities within us, new possibilities between us, in a world that so desperately needs the source of all love to be seen through you and through me. God love you. Amen.